This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
.11:27 here in St. Louis, Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. If you want to get involved, you can text us at 855-282-8255, or you can call in the Maryville University listener line at 855-282-8255. You can also visit maryville.edu for more information about that great university. And Jim, I'm not sure if you buried the lead exactly, but it is the Midsummer Classic taking place this week in Cleveland. Tonight is the Home Run Derby. Christian Yelich having to pull out late because of an injured back. Javi Baez had to pull out last week due to an injured heel. But regardless, not a terrible field this year for Major League Baseball, including Major League Baseball doing a nice job of including some mix of, you have to have the home guy, and that's Carlos Santana, who's kind of meh, whatever. The rest, though, they're trying to advertise the youth and the up-and-comers in Major League Baseball. That includes Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays, Pete Alonso of the Mets, Matt Chapman, who is filling in for Christian Yelich of the Athletics, Josh Bell of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Atlanta Braves, and we have Jock Peterson of the Dodgers and Alex Bregman of the Houston Astros as well. At the very least for baseball, young names that you want to market are participating in it this year.
This is the first time in years I've been excited for the Home Run Derby. Josh Bell and Acuna Jr. are the two most fun people to watch at the play. I mean, Josh, I mean, he could hit 500-foot bombs. Acuna Jr. absolutely puts every ounce of energy into each swing. And Vlad Guerrero Jr., obviously, I haven't seen him as much. It'd be nice to get on the center stage for him. He plays in Toronto. Not many people have seen him play on a regular basis, so this is actually one that I'm really excited about.
I will look forward to seeing him play as well. I had no reason to go watch the Toronto Blue Jays game on the package this year, so it'll be nice to get a chance to watch him play. And I don't like the Home Run Derby for the most part. I think it's a spectacle for anybody who just wants something to do on a Monday night because there's nothing else to watch. And ESPN can put some live programming on. I also believe that the bats are loaded.
Well, they should be. That's fine.
Or the balls are loaded.
The balls are loaded during the games.
Yeah,
so regular
that's true.
Games, to be fair.
I haven't paid attention to it a lot, but it's the first time in a long time there's been this many more National League bats as opposed to American League bats, I believe. And I don't know the exact numbers, but that's what stood out to me because before Yelich went out, Chapman replaces him. You had just two American League bats in there. The rest were all National Leaguers, I believe. And that's kind of significant because also look at the leaders in the home runs. I think almost the top five are all National League bats right now.
Oh.
We have to go back and look at that, but I believe that's the first time in like forever that has happened with you got Yelich, Acuna, you got Bellinger, Bell, and I don't remember.
Bregman? Did you say Bregman?
Hunter Renfro.
Renfro's the other guy,
yep,
yeah.
All National League.
And I don't remember that ever happening in my lifetime.
Trout does squeeze in there, actually.
Okay,
Trout. He's just in front of Josh Bell and Hunter Renfro.
Okay. But just the fact that there's that many National Leaguers at the top of the home run board, I don't think I've ever seen that in my lifetime. Obviously, DH or no DH, but still, that's an amazing feat for the National League all by itself.
If you're the gambling type, the favorite, odds-on favorite in Vegas, Pirates first baseman Josh Bell at plus +350. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who would be my pick to win, is at plus +450. The biggest underdog, Ronald Acuna Jr., plus 1,000.
That's my pick.
You can make some money off that, Blasey.
I love Acuna Jr., not just because he's carrying my fantasy team to a second-place standings right now at the break.
Always
he also
fantasy.
Is super fun to watch. And, you know, I'm not saying those guys don't grow on trees, so you envy, you know.
No, because they're not here in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's my problem. Is it would be nice to have a Tatis Jr., a Guerrero Jr., and Acuna Jr., a lot of juniors there, is somebody that you could look at and see that 10-year future. And it's kind of disappointing that there's so many young guys producing right now, and the Cardinals kind of haven't had one of those guys in a while. outside of Albert Pujols, obviously.
Well, he's an all-timer.
Of course.
But you're right. They haven't developed a bat in a long, long time. They're hopeful that Dylan Carlson or Nolan Gorman are those guys, but they're playing in the Futures game yesterday. Yep. So got a ways to go.
Home Run Derby tonight. The All-Star game is tomorrow night. Jim, you mentioned you have some favorite calls of yours from previous All-Star game pass.
It used to be, for the same reason we talked about getting to see Guerrero Jr. play tonight, for me, the All-Star game was seeing the guys play that I never got to see. Because as a kid growing up, you only got one game a week. You didn't have the package that you could watch all these guys play. But heading into tomorrow, 19-3 in the last 22 for the American League in the All-Star game. Is it really? I know it's a exhibition.
19-3-1.
19-3. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Forgot the one.
Yeah, come on.
But reality is the American League has just dominated this thing. But there were times, and again, I guess because I grew up in an era where the National League was dominant, I enjoyed watching every game. And there were moments that you go, okay, that one stood out to me. For instance, let's just go back. Does anybody remember what happened in last year's All-Star game?
A lot of home runs, I recall. Just a whole bunch of dingers.
Do you remember who won or any significant?
The American League won, I know. But I know there were a lot of. I think every run was courtesy of a home run, I think, last year.
And it was an extra innings.
That's right.
Astros, back to back.
Here's Bregman into left center field. Back at the wall and gone. Forget the tie. It's 6-5. Here's Springer into right center field at the wall. That is gone. 7-5 AL. And a couple of Houston Astros go back-to-back in the 10th.
It was like 8 home runs in that game. 8-6 final. The American League won it. It was in extra innings. The year before that, also decided in extra innings. Also on a home run. Also the American League.
Hard hit into right.
So the last two have been decided in extra innings. Did anybody ever realize that? I did not.
I forgot 2 years ago went to extras. Remember Yadi homered in that one, but I forgot that it went to extra innings 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there were great moments for me growing up. One that stood out, I think, with most who grew up in the 80s was Bo Jackson and his towering blast to start the game in Oakland. There's a backstory to that, and Tony La Russa was the manager that day. I'll let Tony tell the story, but you might be surprised on how Bo Jackson ended up leading off that game.
Well, I'm a fan. I loved the game since I was a kid, and as a fan of the game, to me, the All-Star opportunity is one of the great ones because you see the best players in the world. The workouts are fun just to watch these guys. But I'll give you the one experience that I remember the most, and it was the 89 game. We had won the American League Championship in 88, so first chance you have to manage. We were traveling from somewhere to Anaheim. That's where the game was played. And so we're traveling, and I'm sitting next to Dave. And, one of the joys of picking that team is that every Sunday when the stats came out, you had a chance to look at the best players in the American League, and you're thinking, this is like a dream come true for us fancy people. You get a chance to make out this lineup and who's on your team. That's how I took it. I mean, I really enjoyed it. So as we got closer to the day, it was Sunday. We were going to be there that night. Monday was the workout. I said, Duck, I got a problem because look at this team. I mean, there's so many great players, but there's no leadoff guy. I said, I don't know what to do. And Dave is the guy that says, well, pick something. I said, well, how about Kirby 3? And we went through that. There was no leadoff. So Dave is the guy that said, look, why don't we just shock the world and have somebody that's got speed and power hit Bo Jackson first? And the more I thought about it, I says, that's like most of the things Dunk says, you listen. He's like E.F. Hutton. If he says it, you listen. So I said, yeah, that's really a good idea. So if you remember that game, we let off the top of the first, and we give two runs. Rick Russell pitched against us, and Bo Jackson hit a ball about 5,000 feet to dead center. And we ended up winning the game, which in those days, American League, National League, it was a great competition. The National League had beaten us up. We won the first time. So it all came down to making that lineup. It came down to sitting on the plane next to Dave and being smart enough to listen to Dave Duncan, as I have been for many years.
So one of the most memorable moments was the result of Dave Duncan, a pitching coach, saying, hey, we should bat Bo Jackson first. Here's how it took place.
21 home runs already, but electrifying speed. Ball hit deep, way back, way back. Davis looks up, it's out of here. Bo Jackson leads off the bottom of the first with a towering home run to dead center field.
You know, a lot of center fielders usually chase fly balls. Eric Davis took about two steps up, watched them, and all of a sudden it is out of here.
There's one of my moments I remember quite well. Bo Jackson, I wasn't even really a Bo Jackson guy, but he was just in the middle of the media because he could do everything. And it took place because Dave Duncan said, you should bat Bo Jackson lead off. Tony said, okay, that's how it went down. Another one, the 50th All-Star game. First Grand Slam was ever hit not until the 50th All-Star game. It was at Comiskey Park. Fred Lynn in 83.
Yes. Right.
2-2. Hit deep to right field. Yes, back goes Murphy. That ball's out of here. Grand Slam.
Now, another moment. Cal Ripken.
Cal Ripken Jr. making his final All-Star appearance. He, of course, has announced that at the end of this season, he will retire. They're playing the natural theme for him. And a nice ovation for Cal Ripken from the Baltimore Orioles. One final time, and it was really nice if you're just joining us. He actually shifted over, even though he's the starting third baseman, and played shortstop for the first inning. Alex Rodriguez moved over to third.
And now he's getting a standing ovation, and he acknowledges the crowd behind the plate down the left field line. He had stepped in the box, and the crowd just roared and got on its feet. And Cal stepped out of the batter's box and acknowledged the crowd. Chan Ho Park delivers a pitch. It's drilled deep to left. Back goes Bond. He looks up because it's gone. Oh, my goodness. All-star magic for Cal Ripken in his last All-star appearance. First pitch swinging. Hits a home run deep to left center field. And the American League on the scoreboard. 1-0.
Chan Ho Park. Whoops. Gave one up.
It's funny you mentioned Chan Ho Park, though, in that call, because it's just been announced, or at least they've released the plates on the press conference table for the starters. And I would imagine this will be the first South Korean to start the All-Star game since Chan Ho Park. Hyunjin Ryu getting the call for the National League.
Really?
Yes. And then for the American League, it'll be Justin Verlander.
Verlander's been really good.
Yes,
Ryu is an interesting take. He gets the start. That's
10-2, a 1.73 ERA, a whip below one on the year for the Dodger lefty.
He's not supposed to be the ace of that staff.
No.
You could argue that, obviously, Kershaw's there, but I would even argue that Buehler is, when he's on, he could be the ace of that staff moving forward. So, wow, good call there with Ryu getting the start. It'll be interesting to see. I don't really have a feel one way or the other on what's going to happen with this All-Star game. I'll watch it. I don't watch it like I used to. I guess that's because you get jaded once you get in this business for a while. You do. But some fun memories. I got one more for you. This goes Lou Brock. Played in his first All-Star game in 1967. He played in an era in the 60s where, I mean, think about all the great outfielders that played in the 60s. And Lou Brock's first All-Star game wasn't until 67 because you just couldn't get a sniff to get in there. And Lou describes his first All-Star game and going into the locker room.
Everybody remember their first All-Star game. They probably remember what they did trying to become an All-Star for the first time. Here in St. Louis, during my era, the outfielders were Hank Aaron, Clemente, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson. Every year, these four guys got voted in, and that was the rest of us. One day, my roommate, Bobby Tolan, I asked him, what should we do? How do you make the All-Star game? He said, one of those guys had to have a bad year. So I asked, what happened if you have a good year? So in 1967, I got off to a great start. Was selected third in the ballot, replacing Willie Mays. And, folks, I got invited to every talk show in America. Every talk show in America, Tony, they were there. I did you Johnny Carson. They said, what happened? I don't know. Willie had a good year. I just had a better start. And after that, I was able to get to the All-Star game about five or six more times. But in that first game, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but in that first game, I went early to the ballpark to make it appear that I knew what to do as an All-Star. I got there, the game was played in Anaheim. I got there at 9:30 in the morning, game at 3 o'clock. I sat down at my locker, played like the big boys, and got my shoes and looked at the clubhouse kid and said, hey, kid, how about a Coca-Cola? And the kid went and got the Coca-Cola, came back, introduced himself. By the way, my name is Tom Sievers.
Tom Seaver. Tom Terrific.
That was his first All-Star game. So we had the same idea about what you should do in an All-Star game.
How about that? Mistake. Didn't even know Tom Seaver when he walked into the clubhouse. Just said, hey, why don't you go get me a Coke, kid? And Seavers was pitching for the New York Mets at the time. Pretty awesome stuff there. But we'll see what happens at this All-Star game. But I don't know. It doesn't matter anymore. I hated that, by the way. I hated that the All-Star game determined home field for the All-Star. For the
finally
World Series.
Got rid of that, yeah.
That was stupid. That was the dumbest thing they could have ever done.
If you have any favorite All-Star memories, feel free to text them in at 855-282-8255. We'll take a short timeout. We'll wrap up the show on the other side, then hand things off to Cam Jansen for the Cam Jansen Show from noon to 1. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box.